This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. PostWrestlingCafe.com.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, this is Waiting here. So there was no Rewind of Raw last night, but in its place, we were joined by our friends Braden Harrington and Davey Portman of Poison Rana to record our annual Best and Worst of show. Now this year, the Best and Worst of show is an exclusive for our patrons at patreon.com/postwrestling or patreon.com/poisonrana. Your membership gets you access to the entire very lengthy 3-hour show talking about the best and worst of professional wrestling for 2024 in 22 categories, including, of course, best and worst wrestler, most improved, biggest story of the year, best pay-per-view of the year, best promotion of the year, worst promotion of the year. So we're going to give you guys, though, a nice chunk of it so that you guys can have a bit of a sample if you want. Just sign up, postwrestlingcafe.com or patreon.com/poisonrana, and enjoy.
We go next to best feud of the year. So rewinding to last year, Braden and I went with Swerve Strickland and Hangman Page. We will see if that repeats. Wei chose Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, and Davey had the Bloodline against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I will start off this one, and I'm going with CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, which was a curveball that was thrown their way after Punk's injury, and they decided to just run with it. And it's interesting because we have a topic later called Best Biggest Setback. And if you were to ask me last January after the Royal Rumble, I would have a guy in CM Punk that seemed earmarked for a Mania main event. You would have thought this guy, this is going to be a terrible year for him where he's going to be on the sidelines. It ended up being I'm not going to say career year for Punk, but this is certainly going to be one of the high points for him. I think career wise of, and largely out of the ring through the work with Drew McIntyre that led to multiple matches and a show in Hell in a Cell that did Bad Blood that did such a great number on traditional pay-per-view and ended up being one of the best matches of the year as well. So this turned out, and Drew McIntyre, I think hands down, this was the best work of his career over the past year. And a byproduct of this feud is I really think it's resurrected the Hell in a Cell gimmick. And the next time they pull that one out, I think it is going to be meaningful to people because of what they established here and the feud that led to this blow-off match in Atlanta. So that was my feud of the year. Wei, where are you going for best feud?
Same as you, John. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. I mean, there are not a number of really great options for feuds this year. I think we had a number of strong ones across both promotions. But when I think about 2024, I think what helps this one for this category is the fact that it was self-contained for the entire calendar year. I mean, it started, really from the Rumble, or at least towards the beginning of the year, and pretty much stretched throughout the majority of it. So I think it works for these sort of award shows, having just to look at at like the calendar. But even beyond that, I think its longevity was actually very impressive. The fact that for the most part, CM Punk was inactive throughout it didn't, you know, stop them from being able to tell the story whatsoever, you know, and once they got going, I thought they managed to make it pretty compelling still through various TV appearances together. Anytime these guys had a promo segment, I thought it was like the must-see program of the show. Say maybe what you want about like the bracelet, I thought it worked incredibly. Now, did it necessarily create maybe some of the most the most satisfying matches? That is a point of contention, but we're talking about the feud here, and I think the major point of it is that they more than stuck the landing. They gave you the match that everybody wanted to end this feud, a match that I assume many would probably consider to be the best WWE match of the year. That to me, just, you know, in totality, this was a home run of a feud.
Yes. Drew McIntyre's physician rated that match 16 staples.
A new system.
What was there? I'll go to Braden next for a best feud, but was there a lost opportunity that the iconic image of this feud was a Taylor Swift piece of merchandise, and they culminated this at Bad Blood? Without said song being utilized.
Yeah, there definitely was a way they could have weaseled in the Taylor's version or the Kendrick version. I'm not sure. It would have definitely been interesting with the Kenny version there.
But are you going with Kendrick for best feud?
The real best feud was Drake and Kendrick, and don't talk to me about that. I'm still...
Biggest setback would be Drake.
Yeah, still running through the six with my woes, unfortunately. But all you Californians, you won. You won. It's okay. But you mentioned last year I chose Hangman versus Swerve, and that was before a dude set the other guy's house on fire. So that's my honorable mention, because I felt like last year we still got the big meat, and then it went into needles and stuff like that, and it got a little crazy with houses burning. And I still really loved it, don't get me wrong. But that was a little too much for me. The bracelets were a little too much for me, but something really had my attention this year, and I think it had a lot of people's attention because it was the only feud to be featured on the news week by week, featuring The Rock taking on Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, at least what some people thought was the match. It ended up being not that match. But anyways, Cody Rhodes versus The Bloodline, also known as Cody Rhodes versus The Rock. Look at you now, boy. Look at you now. It's just become an iconic wrestling catchphrase, I think, for the ages. And what a memorable ending to a Monday Night Raw. Dare I say, one of the best endings to a Raw ever. And this is coming from someone who I kind of used to hate The Rock, and I love to hate The Rock in this final boss iteration. But like, you had all the history from last year with Cody losing to Roman Reigns, and then you have The Rock coming in, swooping the main event away from us, only for that WrestleMania kickoff thing to like really just ignite everyone. I saw it being covered on like national news. I had friends who didn't watch a lick of wrestling asking me who the hell this blonde guy in the suit is and why is The Rock beating him up. It had me so interested in everything. And like, we had planned to go to WrestleMania, but this made it feel like even so much bigger. Like, The Rock just came across as this ridiculous Bond villain or something. And I don't know what it was, but something between, it was really Cody and The Rock, I guess that was the feud, but really the whole Bloodline, Cody finishing the story and this whole rivalry had me amped up. Like you weren't going to break our hearts again if he were to lose. So I was just so shocked at myself that I was just so into this feud and everything that came along with it. Leading into WrestleMania, that it made me, they did such a good job that it made the people who were there night one, who were like, I'm not going to go tomorrow night, start looking at tickets like, shit, I need to go see what's going to happen. And I think they did a really good job of pivoting, as much as that documentary may say what was true and what wasn't true. In the end, I'm happy they went with the route they ended up, because this feud will be in my mind forever of just some of the ridiculous catchphrases The Rock said. But I hope this leads into a match between the two of them in the next year or this year or whatever. But this was the feud that had my attention, and it was a good one. So Rock and Cody, or Bloodline and Cody, if you will.
And where are you going, Davey, with best feud?
I'm going with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. I didn't mind the bracelet stuff, but I really didn't like their SummerSlam match. And I found the choice of a strap match questionable. I thought they did as good as they could with the stipulation involved. But the fact that I was underwhelmed by two of the matches and was still really fully invested in this feud just showed like how strong it was. I think Punk always has that thing about him where, you know, you're never quite sure what he's going to say, but you know he's being honest in whatever he's doing. And I thought he brought that out of Drew as well. You were watching these promo segments and it felt real, you know, it felt prickly. It felt nasty at times, but all within the confines of pro wrestling still. You know, Punk saying, "Who chose you? Okay, what's his name? Who chose you?" Moments like that, which were just electric. And then I think if that Hell in a Cell didn't work, I don't think we'd be talking about this. But the fact that they did stick the landing in such a fantastic way with that Hell in a Cell match, it felt brutal. You know, you had blood back, and I know everyone's on a different side with blood, but for me, it adds. You know, it feels real. It feels violent. And yeah, I just thought they did such a great job, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the next feuds with Punk going forwards, because this has taken up the majority of the year. But yeah, it was such a great job with this one.
All right, so three picks for CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, and Braden Harrington going with Dwayne Johnson and Cody Rhodes.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
From best feud, we go to worst feud, our first worst category of the year. Looking back to 1 year ago, what were the worst feuds of 2023? Well, Braden chose the Bloodlines implosion. Davey went with Chris Jericho versus Adam Cole. I had Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler. And Wei Ting choosing the Outcasts versus anybody. Not a strong year for the Outcasts, but they are a thing of the past.
Harley Cameron's doing great.
Hey, actually. Yeah, come on.
I mean, not as a unit.
I don't think they exist anymore, really. Even.
They don't. So this year for worst feud, let's start things off with Davey. What was the worst that 2024 had to provide involving two sides?
Poor Adam Cole, but it's you again, buddy.
Oh,
Adam Cole, MJF, just what a fucking disaster. I feel like everyone was over this by the time they pulled the trigger on the devil angle last year anyway. You had the very unfortunate injury, and then just they're so determined to finish this story, and no one wants it. It's so backwards. Every week, I feel, every promo segment they're coming out, they're trying to make the retcon work. They're like, you turn on me, but I only turn on you because I knew you were going to turn on you and stuff. It feels like every week they're really trying to explain to us, the audience, why this feud still makes sense. And it just doesn't. It doesn't make sense. The matches haven't been very good. I think MJF, he's not my pick for setback this year, but I think his 2024 has been incredibly weak compared to his other years. Granted, he was injured for a lot of it, but I feel he came back, and in this heel role, it's just been a factory reset. I don't think there's been any kind of evolution of his heel character that he was playing a couple of years ago. And this just stinks. Every time they're on TV, it makes me lose so much interest in the product. Just awful.
Where are you going with worst feud, Braden?
Yeah, like I think back, I watch a lot of NXT, and like if I were to dissect, there's probably like a few weeks of little feuds that were just like abysmal between certain characters. But I feel like that's not fair. Whereas I am agreeing with Davey, and my worst feud of 2024 is two wrestlers that I absolutely love, Adam Cole and MJF. Just whatever it was with this devil thing, I think back to MJF comes back, kicks Adam Cole in the nuts, and then that basically was like, hey, this is done, it's over. And then all that was like, no, it's actually still going to happen. And then the reveal was bad. Just the fact that we're trying to, Davey said, like they're over explaining everything. Like, well, actually, it's just like, no, like move on. Let's forget about it. I like where MJF is right now. I don't know where Adam Cole is, but by the end of 2024, it looks like he's back with his friends and everything. So maybe that's the right decision, but we've seen them wrestle all last year. And now they want us to watch it again. I don't care to see them wrestle anymore. I don't need them near each other anymore. And I think it's just dragging them both down. And again, I'm a very big fan of both these guys, but this, every time they met up or they were involved with each other, just like go away heat of like, this story is done. This is like when a movie just keeps making shitty sequels and you're like, yo, just write something else. Go away. Go be in other movies. It's just like really like latching on and not letting this thing go that I think was a big issue in 2024. And again, it's all because of these injuries. Like in another universe, this storyline, maybe it worked out with everything, but there was two big injuries that like really messed this whole thing up. So in another world, Adam Cole never jumped off that stage and then revealed himself to be the devil. And it was the best feud of the year. And we all loved it and everything. But unfortunately, that was not how the dice were laid out. So I thought this was just a really bad feud between the two of them. So let's move on from these guys.
Moving on from the undisputed error, we go to Wei with the worst feud of 2024.
Ooh. Okay. So I feel like I'm just kind of collecting my thoughts because I feel like these two answers, and I got a slightly different one from you, but I like as you two were talking, I was like really thinking back and forth about what I was going to choose for the sake of having like, you know, more sort of like, I don't know, covered, you know, sort of a discussion. I'm going with the other awful story from AEW this year, and that is the Elite versus AEW. And I know, like, even me saying that probably has several people thinking, well, what's the other one? Because there may be several choices. And I think that, in a nutshell, is responsible for maybe some of the overall discussion about AEW this year. But the fact that we had several to choose from tells you that maybe it wasn't such a great year in terms of AEW feuds. Because, mine is the Elite versus AEW, and I think this started off with a decent spark, you know, like the prospect of like the Young Bucks being the like these like over the top sort of like dickish EVPs had some potential, especially when you look at the group that they amassed here with Kazuchika Okada as a heel, who I'm still entertained by, Jack Perry, who sort of like is in a position to like really take the next step and be sort of like the focus of the group. Unfortunately, nothing ever really materialized from the group itself, nor like I think whatever their dominance was supposed to represent in AEW. We never really got much of a framework of like exactly how they were in charge. Tony was taken out via attack, came back, yet it was never exactly explained to us like what the power dynamics were, why the Bucks were still in charge even though Tony was back. Chris Daniels was involved, who I think is actually one of the, you know, more unspoken, well, like bad parts of like AEW's on-screen presentation and an example of what a GM should not be in 2024. And then it just kind of ended with a whimper. Like, I mean, they lost a match, and then you burned the documents, or you had what's his name?
Yeah, like Mar-a-Lago style. They're just like, get all the files.
Yeah, and like now we can say that that was just a gag, not really meant to represent anything. Like the documents are just like just a joke. Yeah. So I was extremely disappointed by all of it. Not to mention, like, I think in tone, the Bucks just aren't really good for this sort of takeover thing because they're so like sarcastic with almost everything they do. It's great for BTE, but it's awful and hard to accept for a company takeover storyline that actually is supposed to feel threatening.
Well, I'm not diverging too much from Wei. I'm just more specifically, I went with the Elite versus Tony Khan, that I just thought for the fact that you have never done any type of injury angle with Tony Khan, like they saved it for this, that materialized into nothing. He was back in power when there was no, like, again, we were doing this whole power dynamic, and Tony Khan is back. He is established in the show as having his regular decision-making power, but yet the Bucks had their decision-making power. And then we threw in another semi-authority figure in Christopher Daniels to all of this. This led to a blood and guts match that had no stipulation attached to it, that the Elite lost, that was a natural end to this story that had really not found its legs. And it continued further beyond that. And I think part of that is now also trying to reset the company with a similar story in the Death Riders. And I think part of it is that you just went to this well and it failed miserably in my estimation. And I think, like, whatever you think about Tony Khan as a performer, I don't think he's many people's choice too. But once you've made that decision, he is clearly the leader of this company. And you finally do an angle with him and it went nowhere. It was like you only get to do that angle one time, I would say, in like a certain amount. Like, you can't just... To me, it was a waste all around. There was no effect to it, and it just seemed as though this thing didn't even get out of the gate before they had resolved. Tony Khan's back to work. He's running this company. So for months, we're just, what power do these guys have? It was, my worst feud of the year, and that was one that immediately came to mind. I was not deliberating too hard on this one.
Like, the plus is, I wonder if they did this whole thing just because he knew he was going to be on TV. Hey, why not get me some press for AEW, because I'll wear the neck brace. And of course, everyone's going to ask, why are you in the neck brace? But it never went anywhere, so it made it even all more stupid.
Well, we got months of this for two segments on the NFL Network. Next category is best non-wrestling media. So this is not a wrestling show like Raw or Dynamite. This is something wrestling related that is... This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, it's your home for XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown as we go live for our patrons on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with XL editions containing the news of the day, questions, and feedback. And throughout the month of January, you get a free month when you sign up for a full year. postwrestlingcafe.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.